听力课堂，听 class.com。
全国翻译专业资格水平考试辅导丛书，英语口译综合能力三级，第二盒。
Unit 3 A Part 1 A 118 people were killed last night in the worst air disaster in Britain. They died when a BEA Trident airliner plowed into waste ground on the outskirts of Heathrow Airport, London. There were no survivors when the plane crashed, less than 4 minutes after taking off for Brussels. Its wheels had been retracted, and the plane was climbing when it suddenly dropped, skimming over high-tension power lines and across the tops of cars before crashing on its underside. The impact broke the plane's spine, ripping off the tail section and sending it spinning through the air. The plane had hit an incredibly small space, a field no more than 100 yards wide. It came almost straight down, missing houses on either side of the field. The black box flight recorders were recovered and taken to the mortuary in disused warehouses at the airport. 34 Britons were killed in the crash, including the crew. There were 29 passengers from the United States, 29 Belgians, 12 Irish, 4 South Africans, 3 Canadians, 1 Thai, 2 Jamaicans, 1 Latin American, 1 Indian, 1 French Afrique, and 1 Nigerian. After the crash, wreckage was scattered for a radius of almost 400 yards around the shattered fuselage. The hundreds of workers struggling in clinging mud and a steady drizzle to cut their way into the buckled remains of the plane were hampered through the night by hundreds of sightseers flocking towards the area. 9 hospitals in the area prepared to receive casualties, and doctors were brought in for emergency duty in the event they were not needed. B. 1. There have been enough bizarre travel disasters that have happened to myself or close friends that it's time to put them down. 2. The World Health Organization has shown aircraft noise can cause stress and heart problems, psychiatric conditions, and could impair children's ability to concentrate. 3. Of all the safety features aboard the aircraft, one of the most important is right at your fingertips, your seat belt. 4. When the rare accident does occur,More and more people survive due to advance in aircraft manufacturing and design, air traffic control technology, emergency planning, and cabin safety. 5. At peak times, there are up to 1/3 fewer controllers than needed for maximum safety and efficiency. 6.They were on their way to the canal when their van was involved in a collision with 2 cars. 7. A future Texas Tech student died Tuesday from injuries suffered in a 1-vehicle accident that happened on the way home from freshman orientation. 8. Bob was seriously injured and his wife was killed in a car crash that claimed a second life. 9. A car coming in the other direction went out of control, broke the guardrail, and hit 2 other cars before smashing head-on into his. 10. He traveled across the central line and exited the road on the left in a broadside skid. Part 2. Caprun is a pretty alpine village with access to some superb snow,sure skiing, and surprisingly good nightlife for a village of its size. On November 11, 2002, up to 170 people were killed when a fire engulfed an Austrian funicular train carrying skiers up to the Kitzsteinerhorn Glacier at Caprun. Only 12 people survived the blaze, which started while the train was in a tunnel leading to the Kitzsteinerhorn Glacier. The dead, who were mainly skiers setting out for a day trip on the slopes of one of the country's most popular resorts, included people from across Europe and further afield. A defective electric heater is said to have triggered the fire, and scores of people were unable to escape the train when the doors failed to open. Austrian prosecutors at the trial of 16 people charged in the Caprun ski train fire said a mosaic of mistakes was behind the country's worst peacetime disaster. The trial of the 16, including officials from the train company and transport inspectors, began on Tuesday in Salzburg. They were charged with negligence after a fire in a funicular train at the alpine resort of Caprun killed 155 people, mostly skiers, in November 2000. The defendants have denied the charges, which could carry a sentence of up to 5 years in prison.
Part 3, Passage 1. In its final report, the Columbia Accident Investigation Board concluded that politics, budgets, schedule pressure, and managerial pride all played roles in causing the February 1st Columbia accident. The board was established within the first 24 hours of Columbia's breakup over the western United States. After the five-month-long investigation, there was little, if any, doubt among investigators about the physical cause of the accident. Columbia attempted to re-enter and land the morning of February 1, 2003, with a break in its left wing caused by a breakaway chunk of foam 81.7 seconds after liftoff. The report provided an integrated assessment of the cultural, political, and budgetary factors at play. The past decisions of national leaders, the White House, Congress, and Nassau headquarters, set the Columbia accident in motion by creating resource and schedule strains that compromise the principles of a high-risk technology organization, the report says. The measure of Nassau's success became how much costs were reduced and how efficiently the schedule was met. But the space shuttle is not now, nor has it ever been, an operational vehicle. We cannot explore space on a fixed cost basis. Echoes of the 1986 Challenger disaster were also found during its investigation of the Columbia accident. Time and time again, investigators were struck by similarities and parallels between the two disasters, though 17 years apart. For both accidents, there were moments when management definitions of risk might have been reversed were it not for the many missing signals, an absence of trend analysis, imagery data not obtained, concerns not voiced, information overlooked or dropped from briefings, the report says. It seems that lessons Nassau learned from the Challenger disaster have to a large degree been forgotten or ignored during the years since.
Passage 2. At 7:03 p.m. on Wednesday, December 21, 1988, a Boeing 747 jumbo jet, Pan American Flight 103, en route from London to New York, exploded over the town of Lockerbie in Dumfriesshire. 243 passengers, 16 crew, and 11 residents of the town were killed. Extensive damage was caused to property in Lockerbie, and debris from the aircraft was spread over some 845 miles between Lockerbie and the North Sea. This tragic murder of citizens from 21 different countries resulted in the largest criminal investigation ever undertaken in the United Kingdom. The investigation was of an international dimension, with inquiries extending through 70 countries and detectives from the investigation team personally conducting inquiries in 23. On November 12, 1991, as a result of the investigation and police report, arrest warrants were issued against two Libyan nationals. However, the Libyan government consistently refused to hand over the two accused. Sanctions were imposed by the United Nations in an effort to persuade Libya to comply with Security Council Resolution 731 and 748. As a result of the sanctions and international negotiations which continued throughout the 1990s, agreement was finally reached that a trial of the two accused could be held under Scottish law at a neutral location. On the evening of April 5, 1999, a United Nations aircraft carrying the two accused touched down at a military airbase in the Netherlands. The trial began on May 3, 2000, during which evidence was heard from more than 22 witnesses called on behalf of the Crown and three witnesses called by the defense teams. On Wednesday, January 31, 2001, the panel of Scottish judges returned a verdict of guilty to the charge of murder against one of the accused and not guilty against the other.
Passage 3. Disasters can be natural or unnatural. Natural disasters come in many forms and affect civilization in one way or another, whether it likes it or not. Common disasters are earthquakes, floods, volcanic eruptions, droughts, avalanches, and tropical storms. Volcanoes are most prominent in the Indonesian archipelago, Pacific Rim, South America, and the west coast of the USA. Parts of Europe also experience volcanic activity, and also East Africa. The U.S. city of San Francisco lies on the San Andreas Fault and is subject to a heavy earthquake around once every 10 years. Buildings have been especially designed to withstand the force of impact that earthquakes inflict upon the city. Tropical storms cause widespread damage during the rainy seasons of the tropics. These storms are extremely destructive and often tear away all that appears in their path. Household storm names include hurricanes, tornadoes, cyclones, and typhoons. Much of North Africa is subject to locust storms during dry periods. These insects destroy crops and have a devastating impact on agriculture within areas that can barely grow enough food to support themselves. Unnatural disasters are those in which man has been at fault in some form or another. The Chernobyl disaster occurred on the 26th of April, 1986. And was one of the worst unnatural disasters of all time. A nuclear reactor exploded in the nuclear factory at Chernobyl, spilling almost 9 tons of radiation into the Earth's atmosphere. The fallout area was huge and included 23% of the Belarus landmass and 7.5% of the Ukraine. Pripyat is now a ghost city, as it was evacuated as a result of the explosion.
Part 4. Urgent action must be taken to prevent a devastating airline disaster in Europe's crowded skies, according to a top-level document obtained by The Observer. As air traffic controllers admit they are losing it because of the huge rise in flights, the report prepared for the European Commission and Transport Ministers, including Britain's John Prescott, calls for new safety measures to be given immediate priority. Faced with severe inefficiencies and a disturbing shortage of staff, the report also warns of gridlock in the skies over Europe as creaking infrastructure and 50-year-old procedures fail to cope with exponential traffic growth. The Commission is likely to receive the final report, entitled Single European Sky, and prepared by aviation experts and military representatives from across the European Union, later this month, and order fresh legislation to ease overcrowding and safety fears. Among the report's most powerful recommendations, it demands a European safety supremo, in the form of an independent safety regulator, should be appointed. A safety action program should be drawn up to expand capacity safely. An immediate non-punitive safety reporting system should be introduced for controllers and pilots. More resources should be poured into modern technology and procedures to replace a patchwork of different systems with a seamless single sky. Military aircraft should exercise outside busy passenger traffic areas. More air traffic controllers should be urgently recruited and existing staff better trained. The report says legislation to force urgent improvements to safety should be ordered this year, with all reforms implemented by 2005. Senior air traffic controllers at the busiest centers, London, Brussels, and Maastricht, told The Observer that staff numbers are shrinking as hundreds of ex-Air Force personnel recruited in the 60s and 70s are queuing up to retire at a time when annual passenger traffic over Europe is poised to more than double to 16 million flights over the next two decades. The Air Traffic Control Union, IPMS, estimates that in the busiest areas and at peak times, there are up to one-third fewer controllers than needed for maximum safety and efficiency. Britain has about 1,300 controllers out of 15,000 across Europe. Official European estimates put staff shortages at 10% and forecast that one-third of controllers will retire between now and 2010. Cost savings at air traffic centers in the UK and the rest of Europe in the 80s and 90s led to frequent recruitment freezes. Although Britain is currently training 120 new controllers a year, and the Civil Aviation Authority, CAA, claims this will be enough to manage traffic for the foreseeable future, others disagree and say that more aging controllers are likely to retire than the authority realizes. On the continent, where radar centers handle millions of flights to and from the UK, one senior European controller said, "There has been an increase of incidents and serious incidents around airports and in mid-air in recent years, and sooner or later, we are not going to be talking about an incident, but about an accident, a big bang." The only way that the number of controllers in the busy areas of Europe can handle all the flights is to have zero growth in traffic over the next 5 years. But it is growing at 7%, and in some major areas over Belgium and the Netherlands, by 15%. The Single European Sky report talks bluntly of a chronic shortage of controllers leading to intense work pressure. It sharply criticizes bad planning, lack of investment, and narrow national interests across the EU for poor air traffic performance that last year delayed 13% of all flights by more than 20 minutes. The report also demands that new safety regulations and structures be drawn up immediately and made mandatory across Europe. It says that under the existing systems, the lack of specific safety targets and standards essentially put the burden of ensuring safety on air traffic controllers without giving them the benefit of adequate guidance and procedures.
Unit 3. B.
Part 1. A. Swiss Air Traffic Control said last week that four near misses occurred in its airspace in April alone. A close shave between an Iberia passenger plane and a business jet over Zurich could have had disastrous consequences, according to Switzerland's NZZ Am Sonntag newspaper. The Swiss, who handle a key corridor for aircraft passing over the heart of the continent, will come under further pressure on Wednesday. German investigators are due to publish the results of a two-year examination of the Überlingen disaster, in which a DHL freight aircraft crashed into a charter flight packed with Russian schoolchildren. The accident is expected to be blamed on mistakes by Peter Nielsen, a controller working the night shift at an inadequately staffed Swiss control center. Mr. Nielsen was stabbed to death in February by a grieving Russian father who lost his wife and two children in the crash. The Überlingen crash was Europe's third fatal accident in 3 years caused by errors in air traffic control. It followed collisions on the ground at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport in 2000 and Milan's Linate Airfield in 2001. The sequence ended a 16-year run without any deaths. Eurocontrol admits it is concerned about the trend. It is working on a new system which will give controllers an 18-minute warning of any potential collision, rather than the present 2 to 3 minutes. At present, 1 in 10 million flights ends with an accident caused by air traffic control. But in the constant congestion at 30,000 feet predicted by 2020, that rate could mean 2 disasters in Europe's skies a year.
B. 1. They often made hit-and-run attacks on wagon trains. 2. Police will not release the identity of the victim until relatives are notified. 3. A girl was killed Wednesday night in a one-car accident on Wilder Hill Road. 4. They were on their way to town when their vehicle crashed with a bus 30 kilometers from here at around 1000 hours. 5. The 19-year-old driver and a passenger were treated at the scene for minor complaints of pain. 6. A man in his 60s has been fatally injured in a road accident in Cork this morning. 7. 3 teenagers have died following a road traffic accident in Koh Down early this morning. 8. At least one of the 2 Russian plane crashes that happened almost simultaneously on Wednesday, killing 89 people, was the result of terrorism. 9. A passenger vessel has capsized on the Baltic Sea, over 800 persons missing. 10. Scottish divers have been called in to help recover the wreckage of the helicopter.
Part 2. Last year, on an October evening in Japan, I enjoyed the rain as I walked slowly to my host family's farm. After I yelled the customary "Tadaima" and removed my shoes, my host mother pulled out a heavy English dictionary. She searched for a word, then pointed excitedly. Above her finger I read radiation. Tokai Nuclear Power Plant, 2 miles away, was experiencing a serious accident. Soon, radiation driving by screamed warnings in Japanese to prepare for nuclear disaster. My body was numb. The air terrified me. I thought I was suffocating. In that moment, I could not understand how my life had come to this crucial moment. I had left my home for an opportunity to live in Japan and experience the culture in a small village by the sea. These events led me to the only place in the world where a nuclear disaster was occurring. My choices had exposed me to the ultimate weapon of our time. The rice paper windows and layers of silk robes provided little comfort as I waited for the radiation to subside. There was nothing I could do to protect myself. The world's issues no longer disappear when I close a school book. On that autumn evening, I was suddenly part of one of the nemesis of the 20th century. My frightening experience was because of a criticality accident.
Part 3, Passage 1. Urgent action must be taken to prevent a devastating airline disaster in Europe's crowded skies, according to a top-level document obtained by The Observer. As air traffic controllers admit they are losing it because of the huge rise in flights, the report prepared for the European Commission and transport ministers calls for new safety measures to be given immediate priority. Faced with severe inefficiencies and a disturbing shortage of staff, the report also warns of congestion in the skies over Europe, as poor infrastructure and 50-year-old procedures fail to cope with the extremely fast traffic growth. The Commission will soon likely receive the final report entitled Single European Sky and order fresh legislation to ease overcrowding and safety fears. Senior air traffic controllers at the busiest centers, London and Brussels, told The Observer that staff numbers are shrinking as hundreds of ex-Air Force personnel recruited in the 60s and 70s are queuing up to retire. Meanwhile, annual passenger traffic over Europe will more than double to 16 million flights over the next two decades. The Air Traffic Control Union, IPMS, estimates that in the busiest areas and at peak times, there are up to one-third fewer controllers than needed for maximum safety and efficiency. Britain has about 1,300 controllers out of 15,000 across Europe. Official European estimates put staff shortages at 10% and forecast that one-third of controllers will retire between now and 2010. Cost savings at air traffic centers in the UK and the rest of Europe in the 80s and 90s led to frequent recruitment freezes. Although the Civil Aviation Authority claims there will be enough controllers to manage traffic for the foreseeable future, others disagree and say that more aging controllers are likely to retire than the authority realizes.
Passage 2. Accidents or disasters have attended the navigation of the river in the United States. Frequently, there was an attendant loss of life. Never, however, has there been such a disaster as that of the burning of the General Slocum on the East River in broad daylight, June 15, 1904, when 958 lives were lost and 175 injured, or the more recent catastrophe of the Joy Liner Larchmont on the Sound off Block Island, February 11, 1907. Then, nearly 200 souls perished in the icy waters as the result of the collision between the steamer and the schooner Henry Knowlton. Possibly the more careful supervision of the boats by the operating lines and the watchfulness of the captains or indeed sailors may account for the comparatively small loss that has attended the navigation of the Hudson. From whatever cause the fact arises, it certainly is satisfying to note the toll of the dead is comparatively small when the years and number of passengers transported are taken into consideration. Still, the Hudson is a treacherous river to navigate in a fog, and at all times there are shoals and rocks for the pilots to avoid. It requires an expert at the wheel to take a boat through the apparently landlocked tums and reaches at the Highlands. Much has been accomplished in later years by the federal and state governments, erecting range marks on the shores, building lighthouses on the most dangerous points, and deepening the channel by dikes above New Baltimore. Many a boat has gone aground on the bar below Albany and remained a prisoner there 4 hours, an experience to which the river traveler of today is seldom subjected.
Passage 3. Much of the reason why we consider an engineering failure to be an engineering disaster has to do with public perception of risk. For example, in 1992, roughly the same number of fatalities occurred in the United States in transportation accidents involving airplanes, 775, trains, 755, and bicycles, 722. Yet the public perception of the risk associated with air travel is often much higher than that for trains and certainly for bicycles. This stems from two reasons: the large loss of life resulting from a single air crash and the air passengers' lack of control over their environment in the case of air travel. Both of these reasons results in increased fear and hence a higher degree of perceived risk. The primary causes of engineering disasters are usually considered to be human factors, design flaws, materials failures, extreme conditions or environments, and most commonly and importantly, a combination of these reasons. A recent study conducted in Zurich analyzed 800 cases of structural failure and reported these causes of failure where engineers were at fault. Insufficient knowledge, 36%, underestimation of influence, 16%, ignorance, carelessness, and negligence, 14%, forgetfulness and error, 13%, relying upon others without sufficient control, 9%, objectively unknown situation, 7%, imprecise definition of responsibilities, 1%, choice of bad quality, 1%, and other causes, 3%. Often, a deficiency in engineering ethics is found to be one of the root causes of an engineering failure. An engineer must be a responsible, law-abiding, and ethical one who avoids conflicts of interest, does not attempt to misrepresent their knowledge, acts in the best interests of society and the environment, fulfills the terms of their contracts or agreements thoroughly and professionally, and promotes the education of young engineers within their field.
Part 4. Although Russian officials did not breathe a word about the accident after its occurrence, domestic Russian sources and the international community immediately compared the incident with the September 11 attack, and they came to the conclusion that there is amazing similarity between the two. Same time, same place, and same incident. The two air crashes occurred in the same country, in the same night, and at the same time. Such a coincidence seldom occurs. The incident which people deeply remember occurred in the United States on September 11, 2001. At that time, two passenger planes hijacked by terrorists dashed against the World Trade Building in several minutes. A third one bumped into the Pentagon, and the fourth one crashed on the ground. This time, before the crash of the two passenger planes, an explosion event occurred in Moscow. Both received warning. At the time of the occurrence of the September 11 incident, U.S. Federal Air Traffic Administrative Bureau also issued the warning that the plane would possibly be hijacked, but various scheduled flights, including the hijacked one, did not want to believe this fact. This time, it was the Russian Air Traffic Control Department that issued the warning to Siberia Airliner, claiming that the department had received an airplane hijacking signal. The various airliners were asked to heighten their vigilance. Schemes were worked out with same meticulousness. As a matter of fact, terrorist organizations within the territory of Russia have 1,001 links with Bin Laden-led Qaeda network. The Chechnya terrorists in Russia are the cradle of the Qaeda network, many key members of which acquired actual combat experiences in Chechnya. While Chechnya terrorist organizations mostly obtain economic and personnel support from the Qaeda network, such being the case after the Qaeda network engineered the September 11 attack, the Chechnya terrorist forces naturally follow suit. Chechnya terrorists recently threatened that they would launch an attack on Russia with airplanes. Both emphasized psychological deterrence. Terrorists use hijacked airplanes as attacking tools not because of the big lethal force of such planes, but because they value the dramatic psychology-shaking effect such planes produce. The targets against which terrorists used airplanes to dash were the Pentagon, the White House, and the World Trade Tower. Once these symbols of U.S. politics, economy, and power were attacked, what psychology-shaking force was produced is self-evident. One of the two passenger planes which crashed this time was flying to Sochi, where Russian President Putin is spending his holidays. Of course, up to the moment, Russian officials have not said that the two cases of air crash had anything to do with terrorism. And the Russian General Procuratorate does not believe that this is a terrorist action. The legal basis for starting criminal detection is the provision on traffic safety.